Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, you guys, we got to tell you about Brez Coffee Company.
Made by gamers for gamers right here on the Gulf Coast in Pensacola, Florida.
No matter what your tastes in coffee are, they got you covered. You like light or medium roast? Try the Necro Medium, Holy Grail Light, or Stamina Boost. I like the ICAST Fireball mixed flavor, which is a fireball whiskey flavor.
If you like dark roasts like I do, then try the Critical Dark or the Coup Slayer Mocha Roast.
Can't decide what you need for those all-night gaming sessions? Why don't you try one of their specialty sample packs?
All roasts are made with fair trade Colombian beans.
So stop buying that crappy coffee from the grocery store and head over to BrezCoffeeCo.com. That's BrezCoffeeCo.com and enter the code NCR at checkout for 10% off your order. Amazing! Do you like this show and you want to help support us? Do you want extra episodes every month? Do you want ad-free versions of the show? Then you should sign up over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And you'll get your very own RSS feed to put into whatever your podcatcher of choice is. And you'll be first in line for all extra content. So head on over and become a Patreon supporter of this very show. And welcome to another edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
How have you been this week?
Well, I won't go into too many details, but there's been some stuff going on with my job, and that's all I'll say. But other than that, actually had a very great, relaxing weekend. But didn't work all day on Friday. I think I took a half day. The football game that I was supposed to work on Saturday wound up getting canceled because the team that was traveling in didn't have enough eligible players. So I got Saturday off, and
awesome.
It didn't do too much of anything. Just kind of decompressed. Just watched a few movies. Relaxed, and it was nice.
See, that's what I need. I've had 3 days off this whole month. If I don't decompress soon, and then on my days off, there's just always like the whole day is just taken up with like going places and doing things. If I don't get a day off soon, there's gonna be hell to pay. Like it's gonna be bad.
That sounded like an old school wrestling promo. There's gonna be hell to pay.
It's gonna be like WrestleMania up in here.
Exactly. Well, hopefully you get that soon. It sounds like you've been working my schedule.
Dude, it's been nuts, man. It's just it's this time of the year. Like, I just don't get any time to myself, and I hate it. I haven't had time. I don't have time to do anything at this point.
No, I totally feel your pain there. I did want to throw this out there that I actually found out the other day. So next weekend, Samantha and I are going to Orlando to go to Disney World.
Awesome.
For a couple of days. So we're leaving Thursday morning, and that night we're going to a Harry Styles concert at the Amway Center. The singer who's opening up for him is Jenny Lewis, who played Haley in The Wizard.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, you got to go backstage and get her to sign your DVD of The Wizard.
I was blown away because, like, Samantha was looking up who was going to be singing with him. And she was like, hey, don't you like a movie called The Wizard? And I was like, yeah, why? And then she showed me and I saw her picture and instantly I was like, holy crap, that's Haley.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I was like, small world.
Yeah.
That's insane.
If you haven't seen The Wizard, what are you doing with your life? If you're watching this show, you should have seen The Wizard by now.
And if you haven't, go watch it. And then go back in the archives and listen to it with our commentary.
Yeah, well, that was one of the first commentaries we did, was for The Wizard.
Which is one of the few shows that we've actually done in person.
Yep, we did it sitting right next to each other on the couch, watching that movie. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of news to get to tonight. You ready to get to it?
I cannot wait to talk about this first story.
Came from Forbes.com. Super Mario Brothers movie. Chris Pratt, Jack Black, Anya Taylor-Joy lead star-studded cast. You ever wanted to hear Chris Pratt voice Nintendo's famous Italian plumber Mario? Nope. That's my own commentary right there. Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong? I'm okay with that. Or Jack Black as one of the most iconic video game villains of all time? That makes sense. Is he playing Wario or Waluigi? I think he's playing Wario, isn't he?
Oh, Jack Black?
Yes.
No, he's playing Bowser.
Oh, he's playing Bowser. That's right. I thought he was playing Wario. No, that makes sense to me. Let's see. The cast of the upcoming animated Super Mario Brothers movie is quite resplendent with popular talent. A star-studded cast. Chris Pratt, Anya Taylor-Joy, Seth Rogen, Jack Black are just a few. And let's see, Chris Pratt will be playing Mario. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will play Luigi. Anya Taylor-Joy will play the princess herself. And Keegan-Michael Key will play Toad. That's interesting. Jack Black, of course. Oh, here it is, as Bowser. Kevin Michael Richardson will play Kamek. Sebastian Maniscalco? Don't know who that is. Will play Spike. And Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong and Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. That sounds exciting. I was okay. Some of these are I'm okay with, but I don't get the whole Chris Pratt as Mario. Like, why? Why Chris Pratt of all people?
So I have two thoughts on this. So I was very shocked at that one. The other ones, like, I could even kind of picture Charlie Day. Like, I didn't really have an issue with that. I don't have an issue really with any of these. The more I'm thinking about it, two things come to mind. So Shigeru Miyamoto has been very involved with the making of the movie. So I feel like if he has the faith in it, then I'm not as worried about it. And it's Mario. It's going to be comical. It's going to be silly. So I wrote this. I think it was Randy Bailey who tagged us on Twitter, and I said, let's just get weird with it.
Yeah.
Why not? I did.
You know, most of these I can see, but the Chris Pratt one is just head scratching. Like, I don't know what he would bring to the table as Mario.
I will wait to hear his voice before I cast judgment on it. I admit it's a little odd. It doesn't say in this article, but Charles Martinet, who is actually the voice of Mario in the games, will have cameos throughout the movie in unspecified roles, but they, I'm glad they're putting him in it. I'm not surprised that they didn't cast him as Mario because I knew they would go for a bigger name, but we'll see. It comes out holiday 2022, so we've got a while to wait.
Yeah.
I loved what Wally posted on Twitter, the meme of Squidward looking out the window, and it had SpongeBob and Patrick running around. It said, "Sonic fans when Idris Elba's cast as Knuckles."
Yeah.
And Squidward is Mario fans hearing Chris Pratt's the voice in the movie or something like that.
Yeah, we got we got Touch Biloxi in the chat room. He said the Mario movie casting is insane. Like, I don't think it's...
It really is.
I mean, it's insane, but... I like the way they say here, Seth Rogen, and in parentheses, it says recent critic of the Emmys as his descriptor. Like, everybody else gets, you know, Fred Armisen, Portlandia, Kevin Michael Richardson, the distinctly deep voice. Like, that's what he gets, the distinctly deep voice. Like, who wrote this article?
I have no idea. Honestly, the one I like the most, I think, is Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. Like, I am very okay with that. Exactly.
I'm not going to pass judgment. I don't either way if it's good or bad. I just, that kind of left me head scratching with Chris Pratt as Mario. I'm like, I don't know until I hear it. Like, it's, I don't know.
I wonder if they'll throw in characters like Wario and Waluigi.
I hope they do. I mean, I don't see why they would. Or maybe they're waiting to save Wario. Maybe Donkey Kong is like, maybe, I don't know. I don't think Donkey Kong would be a bad guy in this universe. I mean, definitely Bowser's would be the big bad in the first movie, but maybe Wario and Waluigi show up in the second movie if there's going to be a sequel.
Maybe they'll do what the Sonic movie did when they introduced Tails. Maybe they'll do a mid-credit scene that introduced Wario and Waluigi.
Maybe.
You never know.
Yeah.
But I'm,
and Touch Biloxi's talking about the Sonic movie. Hope Knuckles doesn't have the British accent. He's always loves his deep voice as a character trait. I kind of hope he keeps the Idris Elba keeps the British accent for Knuckles.
I hope so, too. And I will say this right now. Knuckles is going to be a very popular character.
Yeah.
As a result of that movie, because he already has a cult following. Anyway, once he was introduced back in the 90s, I think Idris Elba is going to do great with that role. And I think Knuckles quite possibly might be the standout character.
Yeah.
I read a rumor a while back that he would get his own spinoff. And I was like, let's hold the brakes on any spinoffs until we see how the sequel does.
I mean, let the sequel come and then maybe do, you know, TV shows or something. You know, like HBO Max or something, or, you know.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, they can make at least 4 or 5 sequels from the Sonic movie with just the storylines they could do with Knuckles, with Metal Sonic, with Death Egg. You got the more recent games from the Dreamcast. So there's a lot that they could do. Touch Biloxi, Mel Gibson for Wario. Yes.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
I would totally be okay with that. I would probably geek out a little bit. That would be great. Let's see. Next up, we have from CNET.com. Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis games are coming to the Nintendo Switch online service. Hallelujah. After a week in which rumors swirled about Nintendo bringing, depending on the report, Game Boy games, Game Boy Color, or N64 games, they finally announced that N64 games are coming at Thursday's Nintendo Direct, because, of course, they would play a Direct the day after we do the show.
Of course.
Yep. They're also bringing Sega Genesis games, which will be added late October. You'll also be able to get a controller, a Sega Genesis and an N64 controller, if you prefer to play with those. Mm-hmm. On the N64, now I think both lineups for these systems are very good.
Yeah. Although with the Genesis one, I mean, I already have all these on the Mini.
Yeah, if you don't have the Mini, then you're good.
Yeah.
But some of the games, I won't list all of them, but on N64 we have Mario 64, Mario Kart, Star Fox, Zelda Ocarina of Time, Mario Tennis. It's not on here, but the big one is Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Because it's, I mean, I think that could be hopefully the start of something. I mean, I feel like they have to, because it's one of the most iconic games from that system.
Yeah.
And I've said it ad nauseum. I think it's the perfect 3D platformer. I actually think it's a better game than Mario 64. Mario 64 is important because it laid the foundation.
Yeah.
But Banjo-Kazooie built on that and tenfold, in my opinion. But Sega Genesis, we've got Castlevania Bloodlines, Contra Hardcore, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Echo the Dolphin, Shinobi 3, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Phantasy Star 4, Streets of Rage, Strider, and quite a few more. So not a terrible lineup. Mm-hmm. I will say that. It gives me a reason to play Ocarina of Time again. So what do you think of the lineup, and do you think that going N64 and Genesis was the right call?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't think they're going to do an N64 mini. I just don't think that's in the cards. I think it's a good idea, too, that they do the controllers like they're going to do. They're coming out with a Nintendo 64 controller for the Switch and a Genesis controller. But what I don't understand is why they're doing the Genesis 3-button controller instead of the 6 that was the later versions and the much better controller, in my opinion.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and that kind of had me scratching my head a little bit.
I don't know, Touch Biloxi. I'm not sure if Kirby and the Crystal Shards is on there. That it's not on the list. So, have you heard of Kirby and the Crystal Shards?
I have. Yeah, I've never played it, but I know of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get into Kirby until recently. So, all those Kirby games, I don't know any of them. But did you see the tweet I did after this was released the other day? I retweeted this from the Nintendo account, and I said, well, Sega, I guess Nintendo's.
Yeah, I did see that. I was like, I see what you did there.
But isn't that weird, though? I mean, go back to 1992 and say, hey, guess what? Sega stuff is going to be on Nintendo now.
I still remember when Sonic Adventure 2 was released, or it was ported to the GameCube, and it was just so weird playing a Sonic game on a Nintendo system. And then they did the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games series. So they're both like physically together. It's just like this is weird. Like the 1992, like how old was I in 92? I was six or seven. He would have been like, no freaking way.
Yeah. And, you know, the Genesis part, I mean, if I didn't have a mini, this would be way more exciting to me. But I have all this stuff on the mini already, so that doesn't really do it for me. But, you know, they are going to raise the price of the Nintendo Online service. I don't think it's going to be much. It's probably going to be like $5, if that.
I think so. It's not much.
Yeah, it's already only $20 a year. So if you can't bump up another $5, then, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that there will be more. I mean, if they're smart, they'll add more games to NES, SNES, and N64 and Genesis around the holidays.
Maybe they'll
put Earthbound out.
Yeah, well, that's actually, I heard about that today. Might be in the works. That's kind of a rumor floating around the Nintendo sphere. So we might actually get it soon. For the next story, this is, I think this is from Armez Jackson, our good buddy Armez Jackson, who sent this to us at our email address, nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. This is from Kotaku.com. Almost 500 new Xbox and Dreamcast prototypes just got released. Project Deluge, a video game archival project from the Hidden Palace, may be the single biggest game preservation effort yet undertaken. Since March, this dedicated group of video game archivists has been releasing many hundreds of unreleased prototypes for classic systems, and now is the Dreamcast and Xbox's turn. They publicly launched in March of 2021 as an archival project dedicated to documenting and uploading never-before-released game ROMs from the massive catalog of one extremely dedicated collector. This includes prototypes, early press copies, mid-localization builds, and perhaps most exciting, entire unreleased games. Let's see, did they have a list on here? They did have 135 Dreamcast prototypes. They had notable games from the Dreamcast dump include prototype builds of Ill Bleed and Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and a version of Sega GT with Luigi in it. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Also, they have Soul Calibur, Crazy Taxi, Legacy of Kain, Soul Weaver, Time Stalkers, and the project's Xbox ROM release is much larger, includes 349 games, none of which were made before, whatever, that's a typo. Let's see, a handful of examples. It doesn't really give any examples of the Xbox ones, but there's an earliest known Psychonauts preview build and a Jet Set Radio Future prototype. So that's kind of cool. I don't know if you ever played those for the original Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Jet Grind Radio, Soul Calibur, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I will say this, looking at the graphic that's at the top of the article, just seeing that old Xbox controller makes me angry. I hated that controller. Hated that controller. But this is cool, though. I mean, I feel like this is, you know, happening more and more frequently, finding whether it's old games that have been stashed away for 20-something years, mm-hmm. or prototypes, or even new games.
How do they have 349 games that were never released? That's a lot of games that got canceled.
That's freaking nuts. That's more than some systems even have games, period.
I know. I think that's actually more than the N64 library.
If not, it's got to be close.
It's pretty close.
That's it's insane. It's really cool, though. Let's see. Our next story comes to us from NintendoLife.com. It's a review of the ActRaiser Renaissance, which is the remaster, right?
Yeah, it's a remaster of the original ActRaiser that was released. It was actually a launch title for the Super Nintendo. I did do a playthrough and a review of it a while back. And this is a really fun game. It's a mix of not only like a side scroller kind of action RPG, but it's also like a city sim city builder, and mm-hmm. kind of like this whole god aspect of it, where you're like trying to get these people to believe in you, because the more they believe in you, the higher power you get throughout the game. And of course, you got like 6 continents you have to take care of. And apparently, you can actually go through ActRaiser pretty quick. Maybe just a couple of hours. But from what I hear, this version of it is way longer, like around 18 hours to finish this game.
Oh, wow. The graphics look great. And they did a really good job with how the game looks. And I remember when you reviewed this game, it was not at all what I thought it would be. You know, mm-hmm. I saw screen caps and a very little gameplay. I knew of the game, but didn't know that much about it. So hearing you talk about it, you really kind of piqued my curiosity, because I was like, I thought this was something way different.
Yeah, it said the meaningful changes implemented in this version pale in comparison to the overhaul that Sonic Powered has engineered in the strategy portion of the game. While the core mechanics are the same as they were back in 1990, you still rely heavily on miracles like lightning and sunshine to change the terrain and make it habitable for your people. For example, the scope of these segments has been expanded dramatically so that each region offers at least 2 hours of gameplay, which is a massive step up from the SNES version. Like I said, you could do those sections of the game, you know, in roughly 20, 30 minutes or so to, like, build your, you know, take care of your villages and build them up and everything, which I found to be kind of the fun part of that game. And what I wish, it sounds like they've really beefed it up for this, but what I really was wanting from that game was a way beefier kind of sim, almost Sid Meier's Civilization style, you know, kind of building up your cities and stuff. But I think it just might be too much. It was definitely a challenge at the time. Like, it, nothing like that had ever been done before, where you had two different game types. Like, you had the side-scrolling, 2D action RPG, but then you had that big sim, you know, overhead sim builder thing where you had to, you know, build up the cities and everything. And it kind of was a jack of all trades, but master of none. And I wish that, you know, I hope that with this version that they really beef those parts of the games up, because that's what I found interesting about the game.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, it says here to do like a summary of the review. It says the updated graphical style and jerky scrolling doesn't make a great first impression. And there may be some who feel the tower defense sections are given too much screen time. It's ultimately a successful attempt at updating a solid gold classic from yesteryear. Rarely are two totally different gameplay styles fused this effectively, and the enhancements introduced by developer Sonic Powered really do improve things. Combat in the action sections is more fun, while the God Sim portions of the game are lent increased depth thanks to the thoughtful gameplay upgrades. They gave it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
And so I think that's pretty good.
And, you know, the original soundtrack was fantastic. Do you remember when I played you a part of the soundtrack that sounded almost like Star Wars? Like,
yeah.
It had a very Star Wars kind of, it was very reminiscent of Star Wars. Well, they have a new, they arranged it for the new game with like an actual orchestra, but you can play that or you could play the original SNES soundtrack with the game, which is awesome because that soundtrack is great.
Yeah, I love that they have that option, too.
And this is definitely going to be a pickup for me after I play Metroid Dread. This is just a little too close to Metroid Dread for me to want to jump into this. But I'm definitely going to get this when I'm done with Metroid Dread, because I'm very interested to see what an updated version of ActRaiser is. Because that's the one thing I wanted when I was playing the game. I was like, this is a great game. I just wish it was updated.
Yeah, for sure.
And this next story comes from I Am the Rampage, who sent this to us in our email. This is from comicbook.com. Metroid Prime 1 Remaster reportedly releasing next year. A reliable Nintendo insider has indicated that a remaster of the original Metroid Prime may release at some point in 2022 on the Switch. Although rumors and reports have been swirling for years at this point when it comes to a remaster collection, it now sounds as though Nintendo might just opt to bring back the first entry in the series for the time being. Let's see, the new report regarding a remaster comes by way of one Emily Rogers, who has had reliable information when it comes to Nintendo in the past. Recently on social media, she said that she has previously heard that Nintendo is currently planning to remaster the first Metroid Prime game and release it on Switch in 2022 as a way of celebrating the game's 20th anniversary. She went on to say that there's also a possibility that the full trilogy does end up coming to Switch next year, but based on what she's heard, she thinks a lone remaster of Metroid Prime is on its way. I'm okay with that, even with just the first one. I'm down. I want a remaster of that game so bad.
Well, and it's, to me, the best of that trilogy. And the sequels weren't bad.
Yeah.
But there's just something about that original Metroid Prime. And speaking of that, to coincide with the release of Metroid Dread, I'm going to be reviewing Metroid Prime next week.
Awesome. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I started playing it, and I'm having so much fun with it, so I can't wait to talk about it.
But what this also tells me, too, is that they're still not ready for Metroid Prime 4 in 2022, so it looks like they're doing this as a filler in between Dread and Metroid Prime 4, so what better way than to re-release the remasters of 1 through 3 in 2022 and then hit us in spring of 2023 with Metroid Prime 4.
I like that time frame.
Yeah. So if you're a Metroid fan, I think we're going to be happy over the next year and 2 years, I think.
I think so, too.
At least I hope so. I'm just ready for Metroid. That's all. Like, as soon as Dread hits, you're not going to hear from me for like a week. May take a week off from the show. Like, can't do the show I'm playing.
Or do the show while you're playing.
Yeah, we could do that.
That'd be interesting to see.
Before we go into our review for tonight, Derek has shout-outs.
Yes, as always, we'd like to shout-out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout-out Axblade07, Daniel Salmon, John Jekyll, a.k.a. Mixmaster, Hand Solo, Carlos Longoria, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Tyler Watson, Brandon Rutledge, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Randy Bailey, Joey Image, and Ron Johnson. Thank you all so much for your continued support, and because you have kept us at the $50 level, we continue to do fun commentary tracks that you vote on, much like Clue.
That Derek won 2 months in a row now.
I won so much that we're doing something different next month. But no, Clue was a lot of fun to go back and watch, and you know, to talk about it with you guys while watching it was a lot of fun to do. So that's
a
up
fun
on the
watch,
Patreon feed right now.
It's a lot of us just laughing because we all three love that movie.
Pretty much anytime Tim Curry pops on screen, we start laughing. He's just that funny. But that's up on the Patreon feed. And if you want to be a part of our awesome community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, if you want to just send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Awesome. And tonight I am talking about Double Dragon is a beat-em-up video game series initially developed by Technos Japan and released as an arcade game in 1987. The series features twin martial artists Billy and Jimmy Lee, or in the Nintendo version, Bimmy and Jimmy Lee, as they fight against various adversaries and rivals. Due to the popularity of the game series, a 1993 animated series and a 1994 live-action film adaptation were produced. Those were widely panned by critics, audiences, and a commentary track by Nerd Cave Retro, which I just threw that in there. So, yeah, we did a commentary track of that movie. Not good, but fun watch. I didn't know what I was going to do this week after last week's show. I was like, man, I want to go back and do something old. So, broke out the Switch, you know, the NES Online on the Switch, and was looking through there. I was like, you know what, I think I might do Scat. So I started playing that for a little bit. Not really my style of game. It's like a on-rails kind of side-scrolling shooter, which I wasn't really expecting. I was like, man, this ain't really my style of game. So I was looking through there, and I saw Double Dragon 2. And I was like, huh. You know, I was like, I really like Double Dragon 2. Maybe I should do that. So I looked back through our archives, and to my dismay, and I'm so ashamed of myself that I've not reviewed Double Dragon for the NES. How that slipped by me, I don't know.
I was shocked when you told me that, because honestly, I just assumed that it was, you know, something we did within the first 6 months of the show.
I know.
When you told me, I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, no, I could have swore you did. And then I looked back in the archives and I was like, holy crap, it's not there.
Yeah. It's not there. I searched everywhere just to make sure. No Double Dragon to be found, except for Battletoads and Double Dragon that I reviewed for the SNES. How Double Dragon has slipped beyond my grasp was so weird to me, because this is one of the quintessential NES games. Like, how did I not do this game before? So I started playing it on the Switch. Of course, I still have my original copy that I got as a kid for the Nintendo, but I was playing it on the Switch. I'm not a big fan of where the button placements are they put on the Nintendo Switch. Like, it's not in the normal spots where you would think they would be. I need to go and switch that around. I don't know. They do weird stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah, I don't get that.
See, the original arcade game was released in 1987, and the game engine was based off of an earlier fighting game called Renegade. And then Double Dragon came out, and everybody forgot about Renegade because the arcade version of Double Dragon is just fantastic. Like, I think it's actually on the arcade archives on the Switch. I think you can get the actual arcade version. Yes, Touch Biloxi, River City Ransom is the best side-scrolling NES fighter of all time, but we're not talking about River City Ransom. River City Ransom came after Double Dragon. River City Ransom is basically the guys who, like, they played Double Dragon. It was like, okay, we can make this better. And then they made River City Ransom. But yeah, it was ported to the NES in 1988, followed by a Game Boy version in 1990. And actually, this is one of my very first memories. Like, you ever have a memory that's so vivid for a certain thing in your childhood? Like, it's a weird memory because I remember my grandmother took me somewhere, like, to this party somewhere. I guess it must have been a family party or something. You ever have those cousins in your life that you only see, like, once and then you never see again, or you see them occasionally at, like, Thanksgiving or something, like, very distant relatives?
Yeah.
Anyway, we go to this party, and there's these kids there, and they're in this kid's room, and he's got a Nintendo. So they introduced me to these kids, and we proceeded to play Double Dragon on the Nintendo for hours while this, you know, adult party is going on. Barbecue or whatever. And I just remember sitting in this kid's room. I remember everything about his room. I remember the TV playing Double Dragon. I remember this, but everything else about that memory is just, I don't have any recollection of it. Like, I don't remember what this house looked like, where we were, but this room, this kid's room playing Double Dragon is, like, seared in my brain. And that's why, and Double Dragon was new when this happened. Like, it was like the fresh Nintendo game that everybody was playing, everybody had to have. So when I got my Nintendo in 1988, May of 1988 for my birthday, that Christmas, my grandparents got me Double Dragon for the NES. And I was a happy boy when I got Double Dragon. I still have it to this day, that copy of Double Dragon. Now, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's funny you say that because I have a similar memory, and I won't get too detailed into it because it's kind of off subject, but my memory with playing The Legend of Zelda is very similar, whereas, like, it's just so vivid in my mind. So I get what you're saying.
But yeah, and the thing about this Double Dragon, the NES version, it was so good when I was a kid. Like, I loved playing this game. Now, keep in mind, I have not beaten this game ever in my life. And I was actually thinking the other night, you know, like, I just, in the past few years, I've beaten all the games that I can never beat as a kid. I beat Castlevania, beat Ninja Gaiden, like, all these games that I've beaten in the last few years. I think I'm going to try to beat Double Dragon. It's going to be rough, but I think I can do it. And I was playing it the other night, and I can only get to, like, Mission 3. Like, man, this game is hard. And it's cool because when you're playing the game, of course the arcade version is always going to be better, but I love the NES version of this game. As you go through the game, you start off, you can work yourself up to, like, you have a point system in the game. You go through and defeat, your minions, and you get to your bosses and things like that. And the higher your score gets, the more hearts you get. And the more hearts you get, you get special moves. Like, when you get your second heart, You can grab somebody's hair and kick, you know, like kick them with your knee, and you get up to the fourth heart. You can do a side jumping side kicks, which come in very handy for when you have to fight a Bobo who is like three times your size and takes like a million hits to take him down. That's one of my kind of hangups with this game. Is that some of the enemies take a little too many punches to take down. Like, I wish that they would have given you different game modes to play, like easy, normal, and hard. Like, I would definitely play this game on easy because some of the enemies take way too many hits to try and kill, especially a Bobo. That big bastard takes like 1,000 hits to take him down.
That sounds obnoxious.
Yeah. But it's a fun game, though. And
yeah.
But I like the NES version. Like, people now kind of poo-poo it and talk bad about it. Like, I get it. It's not a great side-scrolling beat 'em up. Like, and like Touch Biloxi said, yes, River City Ransom is a much better side-scrolling beat 'em up for the NES. They got better with it when, you know, Double Dragon 2. Double Dragon 2 is a much better game than Double Dragon 1. But there's just something about that original Double Dragon game, even with the typos like Bimmy and Jimmy, you know, like there was a bit of what they call English going on back then, where they just had a hard time, you know, translating some of that kanji to English. And especially in Castlevania 2, which why that game was so hard, because they couldn't fit like what was supposed to be said in English in those little boxes. So that's why the clues weren't that great in the game. But with Double Dragon, it's a good two-player game too, which I played two-player a lot when I was a kid. This is one of those games that if I did a sleepover somewhere, it was a game that if they didn't have it, I brought it with me. Or, you know, I would have, you know, friends come over and stay the night or stay the weekend. This is the game we would play because this was a two-player beat-em-up. You couldn't get any better than that. Two-player beat-em-up on the Nintendo. One of the first games to really do that and do a good job with it. Even though this game is, the controls are kind of sloppy, which makes it harder than it needs to be. But I can forgive it because, I don't know, I guess it must just be the nostalgia talking, but I like this game a lot, even though it does have its problems. But they did perfect it by the time they got to Double Dragon 2.
Well, I also think you kind of alluded to it when you first started your review. It is one of those staples in Nintendo that when you think of the early days of the NES,
yeah,
Double Dragon is one of those games that, yeah, does it have its flaws, but I mean, all of them do. Like, Mario Brothers is far from a perfect game.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda isn't perfect. Metroid's not perfect. So there's all those games had their flaws, but they were all important to the launch point of Nintendo. And I would throw Double Dragon in that same category.
Yeah. And all the different, you know, the different enemies that you come across, like you're going up against the Black Warrior gang. And, you know, they beat up your girlfriend, basically, at the beginning of the game. For some reason, you've locked your girlfriend's outside of your garage or whatever you're doing. They walk up, punch her in the stomach, and take her off. And, you know, off to the races, you're going after your girlfriend, Taken style. You know, and you're going through New York City, and you're going up against, I really don't know the names of these, so I'm trying to look them up. Of course, there's a Bobo. Everybody knows who a Bobo is. He's the giant, bald-headed guy that, you know, is kind of your mini-boss. You have thugs Williams and Roper. There's a dominatrix named Linda. Let's see, Chin Tomei. He's the purple guy with the purple hair and the purple pants. He's a pretty good... he's the boss of level one. So you got a lot of variety in your different people that you're going up against in the game. It's not like, you know, you're going up against the same enemy over and over again. And like I said, some enemies take, you know, two or three hits to take down, but then you come across somebody like a Bobo or Chin, and they take like 20 hits to take down. It's like, come on, guys, like give me a cheat code here or something.
Yeah, it's, I'm trying to remember the last time I even played Double Dragon. It's been a bit. Like I might have played it once or twice on the NES, but I still recognize its place in video game history.
Touch Bullock says, Dama what now? Yeah, she's a dominatrix. She comes out, she has a whip, and you punch her in the face, and you take the whip from her, and then you've got a whip that'll take people down for the next few minutes.
Yeah, I was going to throw that out there, too. It's the, what better name for a dominatrix character than Linda?
you know, this game is, it's got its flaws. Definitely. But like you said, it's one of those games that if you're a Nintendo collector, it has to be in your collection. Because
yes,
when you say Nintendo, this is one of the first games that really pops in my head. You know, you've got Castlevania, Zelda, Super Mario Brothers, Double Dragon. It was one of those games that it was so freaking huge when it came out. And if you weren't alive at the time, I don't think you can understand the weight that Double Dragon had. Like, if you had a Nintendo in 1988-89, you had to have Double Dragon. Like, that was the game you asked for Christmas or your birthday or whatever. Like, you just begged for that game because everybody had it, everybody loved playing it. And yeah, it's a little rough around the edges, but it's a fun game to play, even though it's really frustrating. But it's that Nintendo, it's Nintendo as hell. Like, this game is just, it's Nintendo. It's the NES. It's what we were doing at the time.
It has that Nintendo magic.
Yeah, it's not a perfect game. You know, they really started to perfect that. It's an early side-scrolling beat-em-up. It's one of the very early side-scrolling beat-em-ups that, you know, by the time we got to Streets of Rage and Final Fight, we had perfected it by that time. Plus, you had stronger hardware. You know, you had the Super Nintendo, you had the Sega Genesis, that you could have these big sprites on the screen and you could have all these different enemies without having the slowdown. And that's a lot of people's problem with Double Dragon, is you start to get a lot of enemies on the screen, it suffers from a lot of slowdown, like huge slowdown in the game, because the chip in the NES just kind of can't handle that many enemies on the screen at the same time. You can't fault it. We really wish they would have done a remake for the Super Nintendo, like actually do a port of the arcade game to the Super Nintendo. They could have done that, but they didn't. And I'm not really sure why, especially when they had, you know, Final Fight. Like, Final Fight was a launch title for the Super Nintendo. I think if they would have put out, maybe not a, it probably shouldn't have been a launch title, but if they would have put out Double Dragon, you know, the arcade version on the Super Nintendo, it would have been huge. I guarantee it.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree.
But yeah, it definitely has its place in the legend that is the NES. Like, it's not one of the best games. It's not one of the worst games, but it's definitely one of those games that, and if you're gonna have a definitive Nintendo collection, this has to be in that collection, because this was such an important game in the side-scrolling beat-em-up genre. Yes, it was very early. The controls are clunky. It takes way too many hits to take down enemies. But if we didn't have Double Dragon, we wouldn't have gone on to things like, you know, Streets of Rage and Final Fight and all those side-scrolling beat-em-ups that are just legendary. This game kind of started it, that genre. Even though it was kind of based off another game, you know, like I said, it was based off the Renegade engine, but it kind of did better than Renegade. Like, but, you know, Double Dragon was that game that came along and said, this is going to be the new thing. Like, we're going to do beat-em-ups from now on.
It took that genre to the next level.
Exactly.
That it needed to go to.
Yeah, because before that, it was a lot of... there were your fighting games. You know, you had games like Kung Fu, which was an early kind of... I guess you call Kung Fu a side-scroller. But then you take that, and then you make it better with Double Dragon, which is still rough around the edges, but then it just kind of kept growing from there, so... It's a very important game for the NES. I think you should definitely have it in your collection. And I don't really want to give it a score because, like I said, I've never beaten it for the NES. But just for what it is and the importance that it had and the nostalgia for it, I still think it's one of the most badass, you know, cover arts for a Nintendo game. You know, that big red cover with the two brothers' arm, you know, muscles and kung fu and weapons. Like, it just, when you're 10 years old, that's everything. So I gotta give it a solid 7. Like, it's not great, it's not bad, it's just, it's kind of right in the pocket there.
I think 7's right. I agree with that.
But yeah, I think you should definitely go back and play it on the NES Online. I would definitely suggest rerouting the buttons to make it a little more comfortable to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still like playing this for my original Nintendo. And this might be the next game I'm going to try to beat. So if you like to watch me badly play 8-bit games on Twitch, I might be doing that soon to try and actually beat this game. And I looked it up. There's no cheat codes for this game. There's glitches. There's no cheat codes for this game. So it's like, it's all or nothing.
This could be your next white whale.
I hope so. I think I can do it, though.
Yeah, I have all the faith.
Definitely going to have some Nintendo thumb. I toughened up my thumb with Agalos, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And I got my new controller, my new left controller. For the Switch, because my left thumbstick was starting to drift and my buttons were starting to not get kind of sticky too. So I ordered this the left Switch controller, which was a Zelda-themed controller. You can't use it. It's not Bluetooth-enabled. You can only use it in handheld mode, but it actually has a D-pad on it, like the original NES pad. So started playing it yesterday. I was like, oh, it feels so good to play an actual D-pad on here. I highly recommend it if you want to get one of those.
I need to, because my joystick is starting to drift really badly. So,
and it's only $25 bucks on Amazon. So if you type in left Joy-Con for the Switch Zelda theme, this should be the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, because I started playing Skyward Sword again, and I'm in the Earth Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I stop moving and I take my thumb off the joystick, Link just...
Yep. That's what happened to mine. Like, I would be in the home screen for the Switch, and it would just cycle through everything real quick. I'm like, stop! So, yep, time for a new controller.
Yep, it's on my list.
But yeah, that's Double Dragon, and I'm probably going to review Double Dragon 2. Maybe November, December, somewhere around there. Coming up this next month, it's Halloween. It's spooky game time. So I'm going to review a new game I got for the Switch, but I don't remember the name. It's a Halloween-themed game. It's an 8-bit inspired. Looks just like an NES game. It kind of plays like River City Ransom. I played a little bit of it, and I'm going to review that for my next review.
Nice. Looking forward to it. I've got to figure out what I'm going to review for a spooky game after I do Metroid Prime.
I am going to do some Castlevania runs this month since I know how to beat it now. I'm going to stream some runs of Castlevania and see how fast I can actually beat it. And hopefully the next time they do a Castlevania speedrun contest, I'll be able to actually defeat Dracula this time.
Maybe so.
So cool. What'd you say you were going to review next week again?
Metroid Prime.
Oh, yeah, Metroid Prime. Awesome. It's Metroid month, everybody.
Yep.
So let's go ahead and start wrapping this up. What you got on the docket for the Derek Diamond Experience?
Yeah, so for this week, I list my top 5 90s Nickelodeon cartoons, as well as those who submitted their list.
I had one.
One through five. So yours was very easy.
Yeah.
I also interview writer and script consultant Howard Kasner, which also so my show will be out Thursday. On Friday, I appear on his podcast called the Pop Art Podcast, which awesome. has a pretty cool concept to it. So his guests pick a mainstream slash pop culture film to talk about, and then he picks one that's on more of the independent, you know, artistic side, but has a similar theme and story to it. So I picked The Empire Strikes Back.
Awesome.
And he picked The Battle of Algiers, which is an Italian film, and also influenced a lot of modern filmmakers, including Christopher Nolan. So it's actually a very good movie. It's on, I believe, HBO Max, if you have that. So we talk about both those movies and the similarities between the two. So that'll be out, I believe, on Friday. So just search Pop Art Podcast with Howard Kasner, and you'll get to hear me rant about Star Wars.
Awesome. for Open Micers, last week we talked to Thomas McCormick, who is one half of the Rushmore podcast. So if you want to go check that out. And we just earlier tonight talked to comedian Jeremy Lambert, and that will be out on Friday. So if you want to go check out the Open Micers podcast, it's at Open Micers on Twitter, Instagram, and Open Micers podcast on Facebook. And Derek, I think we're about done here tonight. What do you say?
I think we're good.
If you would like to email us, you can email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdcaveretro. We're on Instagram and Twitter at nerdcaveretro, and individually at jfunktastic and at Derek_diamond. Go pick up some merch at ncrmerch.com. There's been sales going on all month long, and I think there's going to be sales coming up all this next month. So you can go get all kind of cool stuff over there. Computer bags, face masks, shirts, whatever you need, go check it out, ncrmerch.com. And if you'd like to give us some money every month, patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. If you keep us above that $50 level, we will keep doing the commentary tracks every single month, like the one we did for this month, which was the movie Clue. And if you can't do that, can't support us monetarily, leave us a review wherever fine podcasts are sold. So Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Ah, oh, a fellow checker, eh?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.